Now, we've been talking about Ottawa. We've been talking about different communities in Ottawa and the diversity, but we've been talking about in specifics. Now, as a ward councillor, you've been looking at your ward interests and all of those things. How do you plan to step from looking at sort of a diverse but small community into if you get the position? How do you look to step from your role as a councillor into the role as a mayor of,
a large cosmopolitan town.
A mega city.
A very good question and very fair question. Well, I figure I'm halfway there. And the reason why I'm halfway there is there are a lot of elements in my ward, in Bay Ward, that are replicated throughout the city. The cultural diversity, seniors, the issues that they face is not unique to Bay Ward. They are echoed in whether it's Sandy Hill or Alta Vista or Gloucester. So there are some common themes there. Secondly, my experience here at City Hall, even though I bring to City Hall the views and issues of the communities in my ward, we are making decisions citywide. And, you know, I listen to Georges Bedard, who is your counselor. I listen to other counselors bring their issues forward. I get lobbied by Action Sandy Hill as well as the Alta Vista Community Association or the Kanata Lakes Community Association. And being here at City Hall, you have a fantastic opportunity to see all our communities at work, the issues that they're facing. The issues out in Orleans, very different from the issues in Sandy Hill. Orleans, younger community, more families, there the pressure's on. What kind of services can you provide for young families? For kids looking for a soccer league to play in. I'm sure there are kids looking for soccer fields to play in Sandy Hill, but more in Sandy Hill, more an emphasis on seniors as well, which Orleans doesn't have. Mm-hmm. So here at City Hall, my experience here, I've been exposed to a lot of these things. As mayor, you have to look at the city as a whole. You have to recognize its diversity. You have to look ahead. You have to work with your counselors and learn from each counselor what their perspectives are, what their communities are looking for. I hear it already today. I hear it when I'm on Community and Protective Service Committee and we're dealing with the funding for recreational facilities. I hear about what's available inside the Green Belt, aging facilities compared to what's outside the Green Belt and our growth communities where they're just desperate for any kind of facility. I hear about that now. And part of my task as a candidate for the next 9 or so months is to, in the campaign, go out to different communities and hear their concerns. I think I know some of them. I'm going to learn a lot more. As mayor, I'm going to be working with 23 other city councilors. I'm going to have to understand the perspectives they're coming for. So certainly, George or whoever his ward elects, I'm going to be listening to him and listening to whether it's Action Sandy Hill or any other organization, Ottawa U, for example, their needs, their concerns, and trying to fit that into the plan, the vision that we have for our city. I feel very confident. I'm interested, number one. I think that's very important. I want to hear this stuff. My own background as Bay Ward Councillor has been to do the outreach to facilitate communities so that they can take advantage of the resources the city has to enhance their communities, whether it's an outdoor rink or whether it's a sidewalk or whether it's something larger like crime prevention or where rapid transit is going to go. So I'm going to bring that experience. I'm going to enjoy doing the outreach during the campaign. I know the nature of the task, having been on council, making decisions for the city as a whole, but in particular how they impact on our diverse communities.
You mentioned that you've, as councillor, you've had interactions with the group Action Sandy Hill, which is a group that we've communicated with, extensively in the past on this show. I'm wondering what kind of issues you've had to deal with as a councillor with a group like Action Sandy Hill.
Well, actually, it's kind of funny because years ago, my first exposure to Action Sandy Hill is before I was elected as a city councilor. I was president of a community association out in the West End. There is a federation of community associations, and we would meet with our counterparts from across the city to see what City Hall is doing, deal with zoning issues, official plan issues, the larger issues such as transportation. Action Sandy Hill has been very concerned about intensification. The applications by developers to put in 6, 10, 12-story buildings where there once stood a 2, 3, 4-story building. And, you know, the appropriateness of accommodating intensification without disturbing the residential fabric of Sandy Hill. So those are things that, from time to time, I think you alluded to an example earlier, I've gotten to see. I used to be on planning committee for many, many years, and have dealt with how we handle those development applications. So that's one. The second item, the growth of AutoU. AutoU continues to grow. It's a very important institution in our town, but it's pushing out, I mean, it's crossing the line of King Edward, and is pushing ever further east, taking up those smaller buildings, converting them and to academic uses for office space, and then at some point or another wanting to take these things down and build something bigger and better. And there has to be a balance. This is a tricky thing because it is the elephant in Sandy Hill, that's a fact. And how do we balance that? The university needs to grow, but does it need to eat into Sandy Hill itself? And so there has been, over the years, more than one plan about how to accommodate AutoU's needs and yet still retain that residential characteristic that Sandy Hill so prizes. And then there are, you know, the bread and butter issues of the Community Health Resource Center, how it's funded, because it's important to the community, how the community center is funded, how child care is provided, are the streets being cleaned appropriately, what about buses? Here we had an incident of buses being diverted off King Edward because of construction, having to go through residential streets. That was a challenge. Then there are issues that impact Sandy Hill, but aren't just Sandy Hill. Green Bin would be a very good example. But you asked me about Action Sandy Hill, intensification, Ottawa U would be the first two.
If you have time for one last question, I'd like to ask you how you see Sandy Hill fitting into the light rail transit in the future.
Well, our plan is out there, and clearly we're capitalizing on our existing transitway system, which does pass by Ottawa U, and therefore is in within walking distance for Sandy Hill. Now, this is the first phase, and we're converting the existing transitway to electric light rail. But in the future, we can expect to see, and this is... when I say future, I'm not talking the next 2 or 3 years. I'm talking the next 20 years. Once the basic spine or basic infrastructure of our rapid transit system is placed using the transitway, we will still need to provide better transit on our arterials. And I'm thinking here, in particular, Rideau Street, Montreal Road, where it won't be a rapid transit as we have with the transitway system, but it'll be better than the bus system. So we're talking about tramway streetcars running along Rideau Street out to Montreal Road. This is in our transportation master plan. Obviously, the first big bite to swallow is this $2.1 billion rapid transit plan that goes from Tunney's Pasture to Blair, that has a tunnel downtown, that will have a station at Ottawa U. And that's going to occupy us for the next 10 years or so. Then as we expand that rapid transit system out to the suburbs, down south to Barrhaven. That'll be the next phase. But the third phase beyond that is when we start looking at, okay, we have this rapid transit system in place. What else do we do to encourage public transit? And then that's when we start looking at Rideau Street, Montreal Road. I use that as an example. There are other examples in the West End and South as well, on Carling Avenue and on Baseline. Those are conversations that we're going to have with the public. Once we get there, this is a 30-year plan, so we're talking the back end of that 30 years. But we'll also have to talk to the communities that surround those secondary lines. I think that's a good way of describing it. Think of a primary system being your transitway system, and then you have your secondary system where we make use of our arterials, such as Carling Avenue, such as Baseline, and Rideau Street, Montreal Road. And we will need to talk to our communities that live there, because it will cause some change, positive change, that you'll have better public transit to walk down to, but we'll also want to capitalize on that change, in that if you're going to have good public transit, that means that you can accommodate some development that will complement that without the addition, the requirement for parking for cars and cars. Well, let's have that discussion, because it's not an open-ended thing. There is the trade-off about what's the impact on the surrounding community. I think those corridors can accommodate additional development, but what are we talking about? And let's talk to the neighborhoods about this, because we don't want to create something we don't want to live with. So that's the larger plan for the future. The immediate is getting this rapid transit network in place, but we're using the existing transitway. That's one thing. But as we look to the future, as a city begins to grow, there are opportunities. We will have along Rideau Street, Montreal Road, and we will have to talk to our communities about how we best take advantage of that, and do so in a way that's compatible with our values of having residential communities that you can walk, that you can walk comfortably in, that have trees, that have parks, that are good places to live in.
Well, thank you so much for being so generous with your time today, Mr. Gollan.
Well, I hope to have more of these conversations. I mean, the municipal election is October 25, and that's about 280-odd days away, let's say, for the sake of argument, about 9 months away. I'm sure there are going to be questions. I'm sure there are different aspects. Mm-hmm. We've just touched on some, and these are good questions you guys have asked. But it does show, and this is one of the things that always surprises me, your municipal government, it is your municipal government. You get to elect it. Anyone over 18 living in the community has, and is a Canadian citizen, has a vote. We have such low voter turnout. But this is the level of government that touches everyone the most. As soon as you get up in the morning, flick on the light, that's Hydro Ottawa. Turn on the tap, that's the City of Ottawa. Step outside to, get rid of the garbage, City of Ottawa. Hop on a bus, walk on the street, go to the public health nurse, you name it. That's City of Ottawa. And the decisions we make shape the quality of life in our town. And it's important to make sure that the people who are making those decisions about the nature of the service, the quality of the service, reflect your or the community's needs, and you've got to have that conversation. We're too used to electing MPPs and MPs that go off to some other place and do their job, and you read about it or see it on TV, read about it in the newspaper. But your city councilor, you can reach out and touch them. They're often shopping in the supermarket that you're at. You can call them. You can email them. They'll come out to a community meeting. We'll talk about whether, simple things like sidewalks, or more complex things about how to reduce our carbon footprint in this town. We can do this, and we need those conversations. And if we are the most accessible level of government, so I hope to have more of these conversations in the months ahead.
And for more information, where would you recommend our listeners head off?
I do have a website. We're building on the infrastructure of this. I hope to also have a Facebook page and other elements of our electronic society. But my website is www.electalexcullen, all one word there, .ca. And you'll find there's a contact element. People can send me email at alex@electalexcullen.ca. Happy to respond to them. You also find me on the city website and my city email address as well. That's legitimate. And the easiest way to get a hold of me is by email.
All right. Thank you again.
Pleasure.